Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Trey fakes. Trey shoots from the corner a three, and he makes it. That's a good start to the third quarter. Trey Young knocks down a three. He's in double figures now with 10, and the Hawks trail by 9. Now Trey dribbling in the middle. He's going to shoot another three, and he makes another one. And he shoots the long three. Bang! Right over Karl Anthony Towns. And the Hawks lead by 6 now. It's 81-75. Trey jacks up a long three, and he nails another one.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, Trey was hot last night. More on our Hawks coming up. John Collins is going to join us at 4:40 here on Dukes and Bell. Follow us, man. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929, and this radio station, 929 The Game. We'd love to hear from you guys. We've been talking about all the news coming down from Georgia over the last 24 hours. We found out who's staying, who's going, and there's nobody better to talk to about all of this than Seth Emerson. Let's talk dogs.
Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We do it each and every day. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, get the ultimate man cave or just wire the house with everything you want. TVs indoors and out, they can do it all. Go to brightboxelectrical.com today.
All right, man, let's talk about the dogs. And Seth, it's good to have you back on the show. Incredible year ending with the national championship, the parade last week. We were in Athens. I know you were out there. It's just, you know, this feels good. But now everybody's ready to turn the page and say, okay, what's this team going to look like? Who's going? Who's staying? And there's no bigger news than Stetson Bennett. Where do you stand on this, Seth? You've heard and seen the reports and people, you know, who may be against this idea that Stetson comes back and this is not going to be an open competition. I think he gives the dogs the best chance to win. Where do you sit when it comes to Stetson Bennett coming back?
I think I'm there with you at this point. I definitely see, well, I don't see the people who still don't appreciate what Stetson Bennett did. I think there's some people who are still discounting it and kind of trying to make up arguments like the defense carried them, really good running game, and benefited from. I mean Stetson Bennett was a key part of it, and like as good as the defense was, he made those throws in the fourth quarter. Now I see where some people are coming from, where they say, all right, you've won the championship, the pressure is off. Wouldn't it be great to just kind of have a fresh start? Let's see what Brock Vandergrift can do for a year. And if he struggles, you got Gunnar Stockton. Or maybe what could JT Daniels do with a full healthy year if he can be healthy? I see that part of it. But Stetson Bennett earned the right to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to come back. And I think this is what I wrote last night after the news came down. I think at this point you kind of have to trust him at this point. I mean, he is Georgia's best option to win. Like Brock Vandergrift is unproven. Gunnar Stockton's a true freshman. JT Daniels can't stay healthy. And for whatever reason, the coaches decided that they were going to ride with Stetson Bennett, even though they did everything they could for 2 years to avoid giving him the starting job. And finally, they just threw up their arms and said, never mind. We're in Stetson, we trust. And I kind of think the rest of us should at this point, too.
I'm with you. I think we did the whole, we call it the roller coaster, you know, Seth, where you're like, nah, you need that five-star guy if George is ever going to get over the mountaintop. And no, when he plays the way he plays, he can make all the throws. He's got the experience. I think it's great feather in the cap. Do you feel, though, I mean, is there any inkling that some of these guys and to the recruit Knicks who lose their minds over this stuff, is Vandegrift going to jet? I mean, Carson Beck never, he got a shot and he kind of spit the bit. So what's that quarterback room going to look like?
We're waiting to see. I have not heard anything other than Brock Vandegrift plans to be there. I mean, I don't know that the calculus has changed for him. When he came in, he knew that JT Daniels was here. He didn't count on Stetson Bennett and having the extra year and all that. But if you're him, I think you're more affected if they were to go and get like a Caleb Williams or something like that, someone closer to him in age. Stetson Bennett absolutely is going into his final year of college at this point. If you're Brock Vandegrift, it's more like if Carson Beck turns or comes back and grabs the job, then that, you know, you're 1 year behind him. So that's kind of a Justin Fields, Jake Fromm thing where there's not enough separation in classes. But if, you know, it actually kind of sets up well. I mean, Carson Beck could still have something to say about this, and Georgia could always go to the portal. But if you have Stetson Bennett, 60-year senior, as a starter, and Brock Vandegrift as his backup, you've got two, I won't quite say dual threat guys, but they basically are. You know, they're similar in how they play. No one thinks about that, though, because Stetson Bennett is the walk-on and Brock Vandegrift is the five-star. But their skill sets are similar enough that this isn't like JT Daniels and Stetson Bennett, where you did some very different things with the offense when each of them was in there. So it could set up to be a pretty decent, like, mentor-youngster kind of thing going on between Bennett and Vandegrift.
Seth Emerson, our guest, guys, we're talking about the Dogs, the news that broke yesterday that Stetson's coming back. But we also got news about a bunch of guys coming back on this defense. And, Seth, I'm curious to know from you, are you surprised at how many guys are returning now and coming back and making the decision to come back? I think leadership matters, and it looks like at least they've got a good starting point with that heading into, you know, what is going to be spring football here in a couple of months.
No, far be it for me to kind of sound like I'm the total expert and whatever, but I do cover the team. It went on defense the way that I thought it would. I had heard in the lead up to the national championship, maybe even in the playoffs, that Nolan Smith, whether it was for, you know, the draft grade he had gotten or just kind of looking at it and saying, hey, you know, I one more year can really benefit me. You know, he was a third year guy going into his fourth year. So this wasn't like Zamir White, who was a fourth year junior. So you could definitely see him ready to go. Nolan Smith was the one that maybe before the year you said he's going to go pro, but then when he didn't put up the huge sack numbers, you said, okay, you know, he'll come back. But then you looked at the other guys, Christopher Smith, Robert Beal, William Poole, they all benefit by coming back another year. None of them was a sure thing to be drafted at all. Christopher Smith, probably the closest having a chance, and maybe Robert Beal with the way he finished the season, but they definitely benefit from coming back. So they have, look, they're not going to be as good on defense. They're not going to be as dominant next year just because of losing the Jordan Davises and the Kobe Deans and Lewis Seans and whatever, but there's not going to be this huge drop off. They still got a lot of talent there, and overall as a team, and this is the benefit to circle back to bringing back Stetson Bennett, is you look at their schedule and it sets up a lot like this past year. You open, if you get by Oregon in the opener, and you would think on paper they have a better chance of doing that because Oregon's going through its own transition, the game's in Atlanta, you've got another manageable schedule. The East is just not good. The SEC, I think, soon is going to go away from divisions. But until they do, it benefits Georgia. You know, so right. they won't have as dominant a defense. And on offense, they'll have some questions. But they could still easily go 12-0.
It is Seth Emerson with us, guys, from The Athletic. You read him in The Athletic and know what's going on with the Dogs. And the biggest story yesterday, I thought, aside from obviously Stenson coming back, is Jermaine Burton. And I was just talking to Carl earlier. Yeah. Can Blaylock stay healthy? Obviously, Donnie Mitchell shows signs of being a guy. I mean, is that a reason for concern for Dog fans?
Well, you wanted Burton coming back. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that he's a loss. But the way to avoid it being this huge loss is, you mentioned Blaylock. If Dominic Blaylock and Arian Smith can come back, Arian Smith also dealt with injuries his first 2 years at Georgia. Those are two dynamic receivers. I don't know how much more dynamic Blaylock is after two ACLs, but he was already starting at a very good point of being fast and dynamic. So even if he's lost a little bit off his fastball, he might be pretty good. If you can get those guys back and in really good form, then that helps a lot. Those are two guys you basically did not have this year. And you also did not have a healthy Jermaine Burton for a lot of this year either. Kyaris Jackson hasn't said anything. Like last year, he said something about coming back. He hasn't yet. I mean, I assume he didn't turn pro. But you get him back, and then A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, and then the tight ends.
Right.
We're talking about a pretty good group of skill position players, and I still think George is going to end up going in the portal and getting another skill position guy, probably a wide receiver.
It is Seth Emerson, guys, talking about the Dogs. From a coaching standpoint, it's not official, right, with Muschamp, but what do you think happens with the staff and how that shakes out?
Well, he's said, Kirby has, that Muschamp and Schumann are going to be co-defensive coordinators, whatever that means, how that is divided up. I thought we might have some sort of clue in the playoffs, but then Lanning ended up continuing to call the plays for the defense in both playoff games. And by the way, that worked. That went well. I think what Kirby's doing is he's keeping some flexibility. You know, Cortez Hankton, the wide receivers coach, left. I think he's going to try to go outside and hire two position coaches, two good dynamic recruiters on each side of the ball, one on offense, one on defense. But he has some flexibility. Like Scott Cochran could come back as special teams coordinator. If he doesn't, he'll stay in an off-field role. But it's an opportunity to be potentially creative with what you do. Like Mel Tucker, Michigan State, just hired a pass rush coach, which, you know, maybe Trey Scott does that. Maybe that's what Will Muschamp does. You know, I mean, the NCAA doesn't tell you what jobs you have to have within those 10. They just say you can only have 10.
Right.
So I think Kirby's going to have some flexibility here, and that's why you're probably not going to hear about any assistants being hired during the course of this conversation.
Right. Seth Emerson's with us from The Athletic. And by the way, we're joking around after they won the Natty, Seth. Are you going to do like a championship edition of the book with Kirby? I would think that's –
I haven't heard anything. No one said anything. You know, with COVID, I didn't have as much access over the last couple of years since I finished the book, the original one. So I'd have to then circle back and start finding guys and, you know, do what I did before, which is interviewing – Davin Bellamy, Jeb Blazevich, Jonathan Ledbetter, guys like that. There would be a lot of work involved, yeah.
Well, I mean, gold in Boston, you know, extra pictures and table, you know, coffee table. But by the way, just as a follow-up, we heard Kirby's comments at the celebration at Sanford Stadium. I mean, he's aware of the chatter and Kirby can't beat Saban and all this. He's got to be on cloud nine. And now does the floodgates open for multiples?
I mean, maybe. I mean, that's what, you know, he's been acting the last week and a half the way he would any other time. He's taking the Kirby copter around and recruiting and everything. But he's been through this before. He mentioned this that next morning after the championship when he talked to us, that, you know, he had a pretty good mentor when it came to dealing with this kind of mad rush after the championship, after you've, you know, spent more time than other people in your season, and then you have to go recruit and everything. And so he's been through this before. And I think for a lot of Georgia fans, there's a lot of, hey, what now? You know, we waited 41 years for this. You know, what are we supposed to be feeling now? What are we supposed to do? Whereas Kirby has been through this at Alabama, where it's like, all right, they won one championship. One now, go get another and another and another and another. And so that's what the process is going to be.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, those doubles and triples are not easy, but you've got a lot of players in place. Seth, great job in covering the team. Just giving you kudos, man, for all the work that you've done throughout the course of the season. And we know it's hard work, but it's been fun. The payoff was great with the team winning the national championship. Look forward to talking to you soon as things continue to shake out, Seth. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man. Mike, and as many things will change, a lot of this stuff's going to stay the same, right? I mean, he's saying – this is what I got from that. The Burton deal is not as big as maybe people think it is. Is that what you got?
Yeah, I just and we kind of heard this from Connor, and we heard this from, you know, other guys around. You know, you've seen Aaron Murray tweeted. They'll get somebody. I mean, again, if it's a five star, that would be something. But they'll get a wide receiver or two through the portal. But just think about how dynamic Monken could be with Arik Gilbert and Brent Bowers and Donnie Mitchell. If Blaylock, God bless him, can stay healthy and again try to, you know, keep those knees together, they're going to get some guys. I think, I mean, right now you got to replace, you know, but Burton wasn't the man. You know, I mean, you'd love Pickens to come back, but there's no way Pickens could. He had to go to the NFL. But I think, to his point, watch for the transfer portal. Georgia is such a sexy brand right now. It has been, and now they finally got the national championship.
I'm too sexy for my love.
All right, man. I'm too sexy. Please, Kirby.
Let's give you a chance right now to win a $100 gift card brought to you by Lucasfilm and Disney Plus, presenting the new original series, The Book of Boba Fett. And The Book of Boba Fett is now streaming only on Disney Plus. Caller number 9 at 404-741-0929. Caller number 9, you're going to win the $100 gift card. When we come back, does he get special treatment from the refs? We'll talk about it next.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Bruce Feldman is reporting, quote, multiple sources inside Michigan.
Winning the $100 gift card. We'll continue to give those away throughout the course of the week, courtesy of Lucasfilm and Disney Plus. Have you checked out this series, Chris, by the way? Have you been watching the Book of Boba Fett?
No, I'm still behind. I'm catching up on Hawkeye right now, which is great.
It is. That's a good one. It's Disney. That's Disney too, right? Disney Plus?
Oh, yeah. In my opinion, it is the second best of all the series they've released thus far.
Okay. Well, I haven't checked it out either. I did watch Hawkeye because that was around Christmas time, and it ends around there. So, but I've not checked this one out yet. I'm going to have to. Hey, man.
So out of the loop. So many things I got to watch.
Dude, Mike, it is. And that's my problem, too, right now. With all the streaming services, I say with all, like, I don't know, the four I've got or whatever. But there's 8 million shows to watch, right? And every time you get into one, right. During the holidays, man, I was watching like 4 shows at once. Like, I'd watch one episode because I had time, I had some downtime, I was off. And then I'd watch another episode of another show. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to this one. But I didn't finish any of them. I'm like episode 8 on like 4 different shows right now.
Yeah, so. My thing is, I'm a big documentary guy. So have you watched Bad Sport on Netflix?
No. Is it
basically
good?
It's when you got sports and little shenanigans kind of intercede. I was watching the one about Randy Lanier. He won the sports car championship, and he was the way he paid off his race team. He was like the biggest weed smuggler in America.
Wow.
It's really interesting. Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of like the Cocaine Cowboys.
Okay.
A little bit of that Miami feel to it. And he was just a big race car driver. And he literally had it's called Need for Weed. That's what it's called, which is actually pretty interesting. But
the last Netflix documentary I watched, and you might be aware of this because you from New York, but the Times Square killer guy. Did you see this one?
No, that's Becky's. She's always ahead of me on the Murder and Mayhem, but that's supposed to be really good, too.
No, it was. It was really good. It's like in the 70s, guys, and Times Square was a wreck.
Yes, it was.
And so this guy, he was like a computer nerd, and basically he's going in, you know, there was all kind of sex activity and prostitution and stuff going on in Times Square. And anyways, he'd go and pick up women, but he murdered multiple women. It's like the craziest thing. And the cops, because they didn't communicate back then the way they do now with computer systems and all this, they, by chance, fell into finding this guy. And so, yeah, it's an incredible documentary, though.
It's, again, the guy Richard Cottenham. It was a big story in New York back in the day. But, yeah, Times Square, that was, if you go to New York now and you, well, it's kind of gone back to the crapper. But, no, for a while there, it was really great when they cleaned up Times Square. It started with Ed Koch as mayor. But, yeah, now, of course, you see all the family-friendly stuff, you know, from Margaritaville and everything else to M&M stores and all that. But, man, when I was a kid, it was, man, holy, peep shows on every corner. It was just nasty, man.
I know. That's the thing. And you know, again, seeing that and live shows, and you know what I'm talking about, all that kind of stuff. You're like, what? Yeah, that was going on right there. It's Dukes and Bell. That's not what we're talking about today. This is just sidebar. We are talking about our Hawks. We'll get back into that conversation with our man John Collins, who's set to join us at 4:40. Hey, with the NFL playoffs this weekend, Mike, and by the way, I just want to ask you about the officiating, because I want you to hear from Tom Brady. The narrative is that Brady, and if you're a star in the league, right, you get special treatment. I know how you feel about officials, but do you think, for example, do you think the officials blew the Dallas game? Do you put that on the officials?
No, the Cowboys screwed things up. I mean, look, when a 335-pound man moves, you're going to see it, okay? False starts, dumb penalties, dumb execution.
I mean, you're nervous to start the game?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Coach should have said, hey, guys, you want to stake them or something to settle your nerves? No, I don't. The Cowboys screwed themselves. And we said, I mentioned to you earlier the comments that Troy Aikman made on sports radio in Dallas. Bad game plan. You know, you gotta improvise, okay? You got to pivot. You cannot lock into tunnel. CeeDee Lamb can't get one catch. You know what I mean? Things like that. But, no, I think the officials, they were a part of it, but I think there were so many glaring penalties. I thought the 49ers got screwed on the spot on the end around. They could have put the game away on ice.
Yes, I agree with that. So, you know, officials will play a role in the divisional round this weekend. I don't want the officials to decide games. The game should be decided by players. And the Cowboys, you know, the play selection and clock management and all that, that decided the game. The officials didn't decide it. But Tom Brady was asked on SiriusXM, Mike, about, you know, this narrative that he gets special treatment. For example, if you graze him, it's a penalty. 15 yards, right? Roughing the passer.
Right.
And this is what he said about that narrative.
Yeah, I always hear that to different degrees about getting penalties and so forth and roughing the passers, and I think that speaks to it, because they say that and I'm always in my mind going, I don't remember the last time I got a roughing the passer. We should look that up, you know, over the last whatever 10 years, who's got the most roughing the passer penalties. I hope it's not me, because then I just, you know, put my foot in my mouth. But I don't feel like I get them as much as people may think that I get them. I do know that they probably let me get away with a lot of unsportsmanlike conducts, you know, talking smack to the other team and talking smack to the refs when I don't think I get the right call. I'm kind of a pain in their ass, if you don't already know that.
He's working. Well, I mean, you got to work for every angle out there. I'm looking this up right now because I think Pro Football Focus had this on it. Of quarterbacks who have had at least 1,250 dropbacks since 15, Brady actually has the fourth lowest roughing the passer quarterback hits at 3.94. And Baker Mayfield actually had the most this season, according to... who's the dude doing the research? Give him some credit. Whoever this nerd was who put these Connor, the college graduate, big analytics, put it together. Baker Mayfield, 15%. Jimmy G, 11%. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 11.4%. That's, again, remember he got injured, so that was early. Numbers are skewed. Let's see here. Kyler Murray, 11.1%. This is actually from last year. This is not this year. This is from last year. It was Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Daniel Jones, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning were the lowest percentage as far as roughing the passer calls. Well, that's a year ago.
Okay, but let's think about that for a second. Brees and Brady get the ball out of their hands.
Correct. Zip. They're not sitting there. And by the way, if there's pressure, what does Brady do? He takes a knee. He gets on his butt.
Yeah. So I'm with him. He gets that narrative because, again, now I will say this. The Tom Brady rule, if you want to go back to it, was when he got his knee hurt and going low on quarterbacks, right?
Right.
And they changed that rule where if you are anywhere near a guy's legs when he's throwing the football, that's another whole, you know, statement about Tom Brady and him, you know, the narrative that happened. That's true. But I don't believe this. I don't think that he gets special treatment. I think the refs are doing a really good job when it comes to this whole roughing the passer thing, man.
I just think the brand of Tom Brady, because of the tuck rule and other things, I think there's a perception that people get, you know. And by the way, Squid Billy on microphone, you know, we talk about the officiating. Somebody sent it to us. I think you're in on this one, too, on Twitter. Put him up, C-Dukes. Carl is, and I'm Mike Bell, ATL, and Squid Billy 929. Chris, what's your handle, by the way, for Chris? Guys want to talk to
him? I am at C Thomas Radio.
Squid, somebody sent us the Rams-Saints pass interference no call from, like, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing about.
It doesn't look as egregious in real time.
Nah, I thought it was a great play. I mean, I thought it was just a bang-bang play, good defending. I had no issues with it whatsoever.
No, I mean, we talked about how, I mean, even we said the Saints fans got screwed. When you look at it in real, you watch it in slow-mo, it's different. You watch it in real time, the ball gets there when he gets there. It really does blow your mind to go back and look at it.
I'll try to find the radio call for you guys.
Please
Former Saints running back Deuce McAllister's on the call. Okay. Absolutely loses his mind.
There are two calls that I still will laugh and literally on the floor. One is the Saints fans celebrating Mike a few years back at the bar, and they're dancing, and then the field goal's kicked, and they end up losing.
We were in the sports book at Cosmo on that penalty call, having a blast, enjoying that. Was it Schadenfreude when you take pleasure in the misery of others?
That and that pass interference call. Yeah. Those two I can watch over and over and over. All right, coming up, John Collins is going to join us. It's Dukes and Bell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Twenty-to-two run last night is what got the Hawks going. Started the third quarter to take control of the game. The way the game started, it looked like it was going to be another one of those ugly nights, but it doesn't turn out to be that. And Mike, you know, Okongwu in his second year, and this was pointed out to me by one of our listeners. They said, "Dude, he's only in his second year. Remember, he didn't play to start the season because he was, rehabbing, and right. We didn't expect to have him back. I don't know if you guys remember this, February." Like, he's back earlier than expected. It was like, right. Oh, we might get Okongwu back by the All-Star break, maybe. So, Mike, he's been a guy that now you insert into the lineup with Capella's injuries and whatnot, and he's working his way back. We've lost nothing at that position.
Right. And the dude just 21 back in December. So, I mean, he's got a bright future. We love his game. I mean, he's not sometimes, you know, he plays a lot bigger than he is at 6'8". Don't you feel, though, especially last night dealing with the T-Wolves bigs?
Yeah, he's long. That's the thing. We are awaiting John Collins. He's going to join us here just coming up in a little bit. The Hawks, and here's where we're at with this whole conversation today as we, await John. The energy is what we're talking about. The building of the energy. Last year was more about the energy that this team was able to build and then build on it game after game after game as we got into the playoffs. And then in the playoffs, you had this energy of your own. I won't compare the regular season to the playoffs. That's silly. Because the playoffs, everybody's play has to go up a notch. But the energy, Mike, to get there last year and become, you know, one of the top four or five seeds, it kind of had its own energy. And that's what I'm waiting for. That's what hasn't happened yet this season.
I know that it was strange last year because you changed coaches. It was after the All-Star break. It was actually February 20th, March 1st, actually. Six games under 500, and you know that's where we were until last night. So I get it. I know that people are I look. I understand. I get frustrated too. I just think, and I'm just getting more pragmatic about the NBA. Not that we've got the level of experience where you can say, hey, you know, you're like a, you know, a lot of those teams where, you know, when you got LeBron on it and the Lakers, you could like sort of, you know, take it to another level. You can hit the switch. The Giants used to do that every year after they thought they could do it every year, right? With Coughlin, they would go and stink it up until November, and then they throw the switch, and next you know they get hot at the right time and win, but not obviously the optimal way to do things. The Hawks are, as we stand, six games under 500 right now. We do have a little more time to play with. That's my thing. And then I'm also excited to see what Schlenk's going to do as far as, you know, what other piece. But I'm with you. It just you last night we came from behind. Two games in a row you come from behind. But I mean, letting that one wriggle off the hook once you got the big lead would have, I thought, been pretty devastating for the team and for the fans. But they got it cooking. Can you beat the Heat? We're looking to see if this team can make it, you know, 8 of 9, you know, 7 of 10, whatever it is, get themselves where they're actually in a playoff position, not in one of those, like, you know, one game you're in or out type deals.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the play-in. I mean,
no.
Just because.
And that's, by the way, we thought we remember how the season started? We're going to be a 3 seed. We got all the guys coming back. We're going to be healthy.
Yeah. I just don't. That play-in thing, man, you really roll the dice. You know, it's like if you don't play well for whatever reason. And I remember last year, it was, I think it was Golden State and the Lakers.
Yes.
Right? And everybody was like, yeah, this is great. But then it wasn't. You know, it was like the play-in. I don't want to be in the play-in. Let's talk to our man, John Collins. It's been a minute since we've chopped it up with him. He's off to a great start. JC, brother, what's going on with you, man? How you feeling? Congratulations on last night's win.
Appreciate it, man. Happy for you guys to have me back on. I'm doing well. Just, you know, trying to rest a little bit, get ready for tomorrow.
Now, you're our guy, John, so we need some answers. I hope you can help us today.
We got like 20 questions, right?
You're our dude. All right, so my first question is leadership. Because of our struggles, and I know I've seen some of the things you've said, whether it's been, you know, podcast or publicly, and you've tried to answer this stuff. But answer for Mike and I and our listeners, man. Leadership, how does that look on this team for you, and where does it come from?
Well, you know, it comes from, you know, how does it look, right? You know, it looks different in a lot of ways when it comes to, you know, vocally, you know, when it comes to trying to lead somebody, you know, with what you say and trying to, you know, encourage them or try to, you know, enlighten them with, you know, information on just, you know, getting better at the game, you know, working hard, you know, your approach to taking care of your body, your diet, like, you know, all that stuff, you know, and how you, you know, let that be shown to your teammates and to the organization, you know, that has something to do with leadership and, you know, as well as on this team. You know, I feel like it definitely comes from myself, you know, being the longest tenure player here. You know, Lou, definitely been a big guy that we've all looked forward to, obviously Coach Mack as well, you know, obviously. But, you know, I feel like from the player's perspective, Trey as well, trying to take the next steps to become the leader that we need him to be, we want him to be. So, you know, not to say, you know, we're perfect, but, you know, we have some leadership. You know, this is just a tough league. You know, it's tough to be a leader in this league and to lead men. So you can't be too high, can't be too low. You know, really just trying to be consistent. And that's how I try to lead.
I know it's a young team by NBA standards, one of the youngest teams in the league. I mean, you mentioned Lou. Was a guy like Solo, one of those dudes like, you young bucks got to quit screwing around? I mean, what was that like? When you do get somebody, an older player, I mean, what is it? Just getting, hey, man, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Solo was a real, real influential part of our team, big-time leader. You know, the entire organization is very sad to see him drop and, you know, obviously not be around the team as much as he was. I feel like that definitely hurt us a little bit. But all of those things and factors combine into us having an ecosystem of leaders, right? You know, it's not really relying on one guy, you know, not to be cliche cheesy. It takes a village.
Or yeah.
In this sense, it takes a team, right? A team of guys, you know, following leaders and following what, you know, the guys or instructions, you know, things that are given to them to help them, you know, following that and the leaders and vets and whoever's in those positions of leadership trying to just, like I said again, continue to put on a good example. So it's a season-long battle.
John Collins, our guest, JC here with us on Dukes and Bell. All right, I hear stuff, all right, and it's all rumor and crap to me, but I have to ask the question about you and Trey and your relationship. Is that a function of this leadership structure that you're talking about? Is it just two guys wanting to win? How would you describe your relationship with Trey?
Man, it's a lot, you know what I mean? It's a lot to encompass. You know, we've been together for so long, you know, I feel like a lot of people just see our relationship on the court, you know, and see how well we play together and assume the best. And I feel like they have, you know, not the, you know, we're not best friends, you know, by any standards, but you know, we're friends, we're brothers in a different sense where, you know what I mean? It's a different sense of camaraderie and togetherness that we've had, you know, the battles, the, you know, growing as men, as young kids coming into this league. So, you know, I feel like me and him have seen a lot of the same things together and been able to grow through that. And as you guys know, when you've been put into situations, you know, put into the pressure cooker with certain people, you come out with different bonds and different relationships with those guys. So, you know, let it be the play on the court that shows you sort of the, I guess, the finished product. But it's a lot of hard work that goes into, you know, us knowing each other on and off the court and us building a relationship, you know what I mean? So, as I said, this league isn't easy. And, you know, we've had a lot of talks and we've, you know, trying to just, you know, become better players and become better teammates with each other. So, you know what I mean? Ice is my guy, so we don't. We just got to keep it moving, keep it pushing, really.
It is John Collins, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. We talked a lot about it. I know you mentioned it. For what you're getting paid, not to put your business out there, I mean, you should be a guy that maybe should have some plays designed for you other than just, like, cleaning up the glass. I know your rebounding has really been up to, since you started talking about how this team's got to get it together. But, I mean, is that something that you still talk to Nate about? I mean, and I don't think it's out of bounds to ask for those things.
Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily something I'm always going to him and asking, but, you know, it's definitely something we've had conversations about or trying to figure out ways to efficiently and, you know, add, you know, the right spots or the right touches in the right areas just to be efficient for, you know, myself, right, to get the most out of myself, but just to get the most out of the team content for us just to win. So, yeah, like, as I said before, we've definitely had those conversations. And, you know, obviously I'm going to continue to work on my game, continue to just be smart, be a smart player. But, yeah, man, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, for us to be a great team, I want to be able to be used in the best way for us to win. You know what I mean? I feel like that's just a competitor in me. I feel like Nate understands that as well. And, you know, he has a full plate on his table, trying to help everybody, you know, get what they get. But you know what I mean? You know, I feel like as one of the leaders of this team and one of the guys going forward, you know, that's just 100%, 100,000 bought into the city of Atlanta and to the Hawks. You know, I definitely felt that way as well. So, definitely something we're still working on, you know what I mean? But as long as we keep winning, I feel like that's the biggest, you know, biggest overhaul. But what needs to, you know, go down, getting them W's.
Dubs is what it's about. It's our guy, John Collins, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. All right, bro, help me with this. Has the defensive approach changed from last year? What's the deal with our defense? Like, you know, early on in games, it seems like sometimes we're lackadaisical and then we wake up. Can you explain that? Like, what's the change from the defensive philosophy from where we were at the end of the season and then where we are now?
You know, man, everybody likes to make it more than what it is, man. This is a hard league. You know, guys, this is the best league in the world. I'm not saying the defensive mentality hasn't changed. The league has gotten better. The league has gotten more competitive, as well as we have shown our cards in a sense that we've gotten to the, you know, postseason and made a postseason run. And we're not that underdog team that guys are just expecting to come in and really run over. Guys are aiming to take us down because they've seen our success and they understand what we're capable of. And I feel like that has a lot of effect on us trying to understand and embrace that. And I feel like that's sort of been a struggle for us. Mentality-wise, man, it's, you know, we're not perfect, man. You know, it's tough to say that, you know, we're going to come out and play with effort and intensity and play 100% every night. It's tough to say that and to come out there and do it every night. It's hard, and that's not an excuse, but, you know, that's where we need to get better at, is just holding ourselves accountable, and trying to do that the best we can every night. The mentality hasn't changed, but as you know, injuries and all of the above, you know, are factors into what makes, you know, our defense not as good as it needs to be. But as I said, we're together in this, and I feel like we're just going to continue to step it up, man. I mean, there's no excuse for it on any angle. So, like I said, I'm a competitor. My teammates are as well. We're not going to lay down. So right. We're going to figure it out.
John Collins with us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell on the WaitFor.com hotline. The organization said that Reddish wanted out. It wasn't a distraction. Was it a distraction?
Not really, man. I felt like it's just a lot of traffic on that wing spot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like, you know, for Cam to really blossom, I feel like he needed to play more. And, you know, I wish that would have been here, but if it needed to be, you know, on the Knicks or wherever he would have went, I just understand that's part of the business, man. You know, regardless of, you know, it could have been anybody, but, you know, if Cam did ask to leave or whatever, however his situation went, I'm just hoping it's the best for him. But Cam did a great job of being a great pro here, still being the same Cam that we all know and love in locker room and around us. So, he didn't let it, you know, leak into the locker room at all, man. Cam's my guy, great dude. I miss Cam. So I'm hoping he does well, flourishes up in New York.
Bro, what you spending on? What? Come on, man. You got the new deal. We cheered you on for the new deal. You got the new deal. Now what you go spending on? Come on, just tell us one thing.
Man, I'm a real humble guy, man. I bought the Tesla Plaid, man. That's
okay.
That's my
you
recent
like it?
Purchase.
You like it?
I love it, man. That auto drive feature is excelente, man. You know, sitting on the highway, open the Sprite, send a couple text messages out, or, you know what I mean? Hit the auto drive, man. It's real relaxing, man. I can definitely say that. It's a game changer.
All right, don't make me nervous. See you sitting in the back
seat.
They
are, though.
Nah, man, you gotta get in the slow lane. You gotta get in the slow lane, you know, go right at the speed limit, and it's a real comfy ride, I'm telling you.
All right. Hey, one last, I know we got to ask you. Nate, obviously, you know, he's been there, done that, and, you know, you can't yell at guys every day because you'll tune them out. That's human nature. Did he give you some extra sauce the other night at halftime when you were down to the Bucks?
Yeah, you know, Nate, as you say, when you say sauce, right, Nate sort of does it how I feel a coach would do it. You know, sometimes if we're, you know what I'm saying, not doing what we're supposed to do, sometimes he'll raise his voice a little bit, tell us what we need to hear. Other times he's more direct. You know, he's trying to deliver a message, you know what I mean? So that's sort of the, you know, the game of being a head coach is, as you said, you know, he probably wants to yell at us more, you know, but, you know, might that always be effective? Might that always be the best way to handle the situation? No. So, you know, as I said, Nate's very situational when it comes to, you know, his tone and how he talks to us. You know, as I said, as like a coach who's been there and done that, understand. So, you know, that's part of the journey too.
Brother, we appreciate your honesty and your candidness when it comes to answering these questions. They're not easy. We're all, fans want answers. We want answers. We feel like, oh, you guys be playing better. And I know you hear that too, but it's tough. So appreciate that, John. And also, I'm just saying this. I appreciate you speaking out. I mean, I do, man.
Yes,
we need that on our teams. And I'm not just saying our Hawks, but professionally in our town, we need guys to say, hey, this is what we need to do, and then try to attempt to do it, you know? So that big ups to you, man, for not being afraid to say, hey, this is where we're at and this is what we need. So big shout out to you.
No, I appreciate that. And as you said, part of being a leader is being able to, you know, look the wrong or look the bad thing that we're doing, dead in the eye, look myself in the mirror, take accountability, as I feel like I'm trying to do. Hold others accountable as I let them hold me accountable, you know, if I'm not doing what I need to, you know, do on the court. And I feel like that all creates a great ecosystem for us to win. And, you know, I hope the fans and everybody's not looking out there and thinking I'm complaining. I'm hoping they're hearing it as you guys are hearing it as well, just the frustration of losing and not wanting to be in the same situation. And I'm trying to just do what I can to get out of it. So I appreciate you guys 100%, man. You already know it.
Cool.
JC, appreciate you, man. Good luck against those Heat, brother. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. I'll see you guys soon.
All right, man.
You got it.
That's John Collins, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to stay here. We got some technical issues going on at the station, so we'll get those resolved. And We'll get into the Falcon report and all that stuff. But
I love Mike. You know, you and I, yeah, we talk about it. You know, we have a relationship with a lot of these guys, and we love to get them on because John has always, you know, as we said, kept it real with us and you guys, the listeners and the fans. And so you root for a guy like that. As he said, you know, like, you don't have to be, you know, blood brothers with somebody. Not everybody gets along, and maybe him and Trey don't always laugh at the same jokes, but I mean, look, they're teammates. They are brothers as far as for the Hawks, and I thought that was very candid of him to say that.
Yeah, no doubt. You're listening to Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, WZGC. And that was John, and we're going to continue to chop up what he had to say. I think, you know, you'll hear or at least see a lot of this because it's probably as close as you're going to get to how he described the relationship with Trae Young. And I'm paraphrasing because, you know, Chris put out the exact quote on our Twitter, but he says it encompasses a lot. We've been through a lot together. We're not best friends by any standard, but we are brothers. It's a different sense of camaraderie. Battles we've been through, as he talked about his relationship with Trae Young. And I'm cool with that. I mean, I think, again, you're not going to be besties with every teammate you ever play with. And that's not a bad thing. But they love each other because they understand that to work together, they have to win. And if they win together, then they'll always have this bond, Mike, that nobody can ever take away. But I do think that that's okay. Like it doesn't need to be that. And that doesn't mean that they don't get along. And I'm glad he kind of explained that. But we've heard all this stuff about how this and that is not working. It's working, but it doesn't mean that, you know, again, they're eating dinner every night. So I just think, Mike, that's as real as you're going to get from another player talking about a guy that he plays with every night, who he relies on to get him the ball and other things, and they work together. I thought he spelled it out pretty well.
Yeah, and as he says, you know, there's the rotation. I don't think, and I just felt this was the conversation we had with John before and during and after he got the contract. It's like, look, if you're going to pay a guy $125 million, you want the return on the investment. And I don't think it's not a shot at Nate. I just think there should be more than simply John is, you know, a guy that, you know, high screens, pick and roll. I mean, there should be some more stuff developed for John. And John knows, look, I did you notice, and we asked him about it, I think his rebounding, especially the last couple of games since he started talking about this team and where it's at, he's really sort of, you know, I guess re-upped his game as far as, you know, cleaning the glass, which is great. This team, and he touched on another thing. He said it was kind of, you know, getting a little cramped at the wing position. So, you know, and that's, you know, you can't play with two basketballs. But and as he said, we got the narrative from the team. And at first I thought, okay, that sounds a bit like window dressing. But John backed it up and said, no, man, there was no static with Cam. They kept it above board. So that's pretty cool.
That is. And it's good to hear, too, Mike, because here's the thing. That could have easily been, now that a guy's out of your locker room, an excuse that everybody throws out there, right? You could have easily thrown him under the bus and been like, yeah, man, it was disruptive, and every day we came into work, and it was something we were talking about. He didn't do that. So great stuff from John Collins, man. If you missed it, we'll replay that for you a little bit later on in the show. It's Dukes and Bell. We got more to get to. Falcon Report's on the way. We got our issues resolved, I think, back at the station. We'll come back and how about development? We'll talk about it coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!